Shall we now turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we shall read verses 28 to 30. The compassionate call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the title I've given is Devil's Burdens versus Jesus' Burdens. Devil's Burdens versus Jesus' Burdens. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If Christ's yoke and his burden is light, this means the burden of the world, the burden of Satan, is heavy. The burdens that Satan puts on you and me are unbearable and mercilessly heavy. Now Jesus says, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy burden, I will give you rest. The world, you and I are seeking for rest. There is no doubt about this. The world is in turmoil, wars and destruction on all sides, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, floods, killing and violence, poverty, suspicion, gang wars, drunkenness, breakup of relationship, rape, and so on. And yet in all this, Jesus says, I will give you rest, rest for your soul. On the other hand, the devil shows all of us the kingdoms of the earth. The kingdoms of the earth. I'll read for you Luke chapter 4 verse 6. And he said to Jesus, all this power will I give to you. First he shows the all the kingdoms of the earth. And then he says, all this power will I give to you and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Now let us put these two persons side by side. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Satan, the God of this world. The Bible says that the devil is the God of this world. Satan told Jesus, and so he tells all of us that the world is delivered into his hands. So the Bible says, whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. So Satan or the devil is a god of this world, and he has blinded those that do not believe in the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God himself, calls the devil the prince of the world. John chapter 12 verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And this being so, let us ask, what have these two to offer? What have they to offer us? Satan is also called the devil and also called the serpent. You know that there are people that worship the serpent. The Bible gives us the reason as to why people worship serpents. Satan entered into the serpent and tempted Adam and Eve. The serpent promised that if they do what he says, they would become like God himself. They believed Satan and then on were forced to worship the serpent. For when he does you a favor, he demands that you worship him. Those that do not believe in the true and living God actually worship Satan. But why worship a serpent or a fish or a cow or a monkey or the dead ancestors? Satan cannot be seen. He is spirit. So Satan works through animals. He enters into animals and humans and gains worship through them. For example, when you are worshipping an idol, you are not worshipping an idol, but the spirit behind it, which is the devil. Think about this. Satan must have said to the ancient people, if you worship me, I will give you all the splendor, all the riches of this world. And that's what he said to Adam and Eve. They believed, and what did they get in return? Think of the nations that worship serpent and continue to worship serpents even today. The ancient nations that worship the serpent are no more. They are destroyed, they are gone. The present ones are filled with corruption and superstition and traditions that are full of falsehood and injustice. You know them by their fruits. So what does Jesus offer? Jesus says, come, come to me. And Jesus shows himself, he reveals himself. What does Satan offer? Satan shows the kingdoms of the world. He does not show the burdens. He does not show the pain. He pretends to be a positive thinker. He shows the brighter side of life. He offers fun, wealth, pleasure, splendor. He offers glory and power. What does power mean in this context? The word used in Greek for power here means you will be given the power of choice. You will be given the liberty of doing as you please. It also means that you will be given the strength, both mental and physical strength. And this goes to mean you will be given authority. And glory here means you will be given honor. You will be given praise and worship. People will worship you. It is not surprising today to see celebrities of various kinds seeking for honor and praise and worship, giving themselves to the devil. And you can see how crazy people go after these celebrities, whether they be politicians, religious leaders, singers, actors, athletes, or whoever. People worship them, isn't it? Who is behind such an icon? That is right. The devil. The fans are the worshippers. Recently I saw a video where people are celebrating Beyoncé's mass. Beyoncé's mass held in California church. A church in California holding a mass called Beyoncé's mass. Remember, the Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. He gets his worship through the ones he possess, whether they be idols, whether they be animals, trees, or humans. The Antichrist will be a person fully possessed from his birth. The fullness of Satan's character and power will be in him. He is a person, a human being. Luke chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Dear friends, if you keep this in mind, you will be able to see what the world is talking and offering everyone today. Even the churches are offering nothing but health, wealth, prosperity, positive thinking, feel good, think well of yourself, Don't be a killjoy. Don't mention anything that puts a person down. Don't talk about sin, about hell, about punishment. Satan says, no, I don't offer you conscience. I don't offer you guilt. I don't offer you correction and smacking. I don't offer you self-control and discipline. Just do it. Do those things that makes you feel good. When you follow Satan, there is no boundaries to stop. Discipline is not part of Satan. We can now understand why the government bans smacking children to discipline them. When they introduce abortion and why they introduce abortion and why they introduce human rights to the point if a thief enters into your house and if he is threatened and harmed, the courts sue you and not the thief. We can now understand why those that run after fame, wealth and honor sings the glory of the devil and blasphemes the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, dear friends, if someone offers you authority over others, to become more wealthy than others, to have more power than others, to have your own way of life and do whatever you want to do, will you not keep people under your power, under your authority, so that you receive continual praise and worship? It is a problem of the human heart. Those that worship such a God will practice just what this God believes. They will even demand from others that they follow such a God. Why? So that this God favors him or her and promotes them to a higher rank. Nations can also seek for the wealth and glory from the devil. They reject God and they desire to receive the promises of Satan. And in order to please the devil, they will introduce everything that Satan hates. They will take away the knowledge of the liberating God. They will ban the Bible. They will persecute the lovers of God and justice. They will make every effort to destroy the knowledge of God of love, kindness, peace, joy, rest, and life. But be aware, dear friends, although Satan promises glory and power for those that worship him, but he does not promise rest. He does not promise rest. He does not promise peace. He does not promise knowledge. He will keep you in ignorance. The Bible says, for the lack of knowledge, my people perish. When it comes to Jesus, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Look, he does not distract you with the things of the world. He simply says, come to me. Look unto me and be saved. He is not afraid to reveal his true self. He has nothing to hide. He is the light and he dwells in the light. And then he turns your attention on you, on yourself. What is your real life? What are your real issues? What are your real struggles? Poverty, injustice, anger, hatred, corruption, jealousy, gossip, lies, murder, rape, being robbed and cheated, wickedness, anxiety, pain, addiction, sickness, sorrow, broken relationship, joblessness, homelessness, and ultimately death. Jesus turns your attention on your daily issues of life. He turns your attention on your burdens, the burdens that you carry day in and day out, even anxiety about the exams and so on. Jesus focuses on your negatives. These are all negatives. Oh, Just forget about these and focus on what I can offer you, says Satan. If you worship me, I will give you whatever you want. You want money? Rob, cheat, oppress the weak and the needy. Take bribes, avoid paying taxes. You want peace? Drink alcohol and take some drugs. These are all positive things. You have tasted it and you know how you feel nice after you have done this. Look, you can have your own way. It is your life. You do what you want with it. If alcohol and drugs make you happy, do it. If children are a burden, abort them. Just enjoy. Don't worry and carry any burdens on yourself. Free yourself from all your burdens. You want justice? Strike. March on the street. Break public property and put fire to the government buildings. You want freedom? Kill and do away with everyone that stops you from having freedom. You want equality? Bring the rich down. Read Karl Marx, Das Kapital. Grab their properties. Make the husband sit at the home and babysitting. Make them babysit. And you get to office. If not, find a woman if you are a woman. And find a man if you are a man. And live together. I give you the power to make yourself equal with any person or any society. You want to be free and enjoy life? Stop having children. If you do have any, force your girlfriend or your wife to abort the baby. Tell your boyfriend it is ridiculous to have babies in these modern days. Make your husband look like one of the ancient guy. Make love, not babies. First enjoy life. Have plenty of bank balance. Make love and not babies. And by the time you come to your late middle age, just relax and see your nation being taken over by people that love to make babies. And then regret. You want to enjoy life? Rape, molest, sleep with as many women or men you want to. After all, I have given you the authority to do what you want to do. Oh dear friends, this is what Satan offers you and me. And then we ask, if God is living, if God loves, if God is just, why are all these things happening? Why? Satan hides his face. He turns your attention to the world, to the glory and power of the world. And when things go wrong, you turn around and blame God for it. I did the same, dear friends. I'm not trying to point finger at you. We all do that. You and I think all this is done by God. I used to curse God for nothing was going right with me. Nothing. Why do we blame God for every wrong thing in the world? Because Satan presents himself as the angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Angel of light, what does light do? It spreads rays of light, isn't it? It spreads its rays. It is like the star. Star is metaphorically spoken as a guide. It guides people to its destination. And each ray of light is like a path. So, taking the clue from the Bible, we can say Satan comes as a ray of light. He comes as a star. As a guide, leading you to have power and strength and happiness and authority and liberty and freedom. But you end up deeper and deeper into a pit, a bottomless pit of suffering. He does not warn you and say, look, that is dangerous. that is too heavy a burden for you. You will crash. You will be destroyed. He does not say there is no rest here on this earth, only anxiety and trouble. So many a time we hear people saying there is no rest for the wicked. You must have heard that. It comes from the Bible. The Lord says there is no peace for the wicked. Basically it means there is no rest for the wicked. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 21. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 21. While Satan promises positive, he can only give you the negatives. On the other hand, while the Lord Jesus Christ points to the negative, he only gives you the positive. Well, what do I mean by this? The world has come to a stage where anything spoken or thought negative about us humans is outrightly dismissed. It is dismissed. So take for example the fact that we sin, the fact that we rebel. We have dismissed the idea of sin. Why? We say it is negative. We have dismissed the idea of rebellion and missing the mark. We have rejected the idea that there is any moral mark or moral boundary that we have to keep. Any restriction is taken as a negative thought, an oppressive thought. People, young and old, challenges these restrictions and boundaries by saying, I am grown up, man. I know what I should do. I have my own mind. You don't have to tell me what I should be doing. Don't patronize me. You telling me or reminding me makes me think I am lower than you. It humbles me. It humiliates me. Your laws and your restrictions kills my self-esteem, my self-determination, my pride. It hampers my human rights to develop myself as I want to be. Very common in the house, in the school, at the workplace, everywhere. The same attitude is thrown at God. God gives instructions. He corrects. He gives evidence. He gives proof of our character and His character. He gives proof of our evil heart and His goodness and perfection and kindness and unconditional love. For example, the character of the prodigal son is exposed and proved that if he does not remain within the family and respond to the love and wisdom and correction of the head of the family, he will fall in deep trouble. It also proves the love and the wisdom and the forgiving character of God. What happens to the young man? He rebels against his father, takes his share and goes and spends it on fun and freedom, the desires of his flesh, and turns to be a beggar. He comes to a state where he begins to work and live in the pigsty and eats the food of the pigs. The Bible is filled with reproof. The Lord keeps proving over and over again through His teaching, through the examples of real people in the world. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 15 verse 10, discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. You see, discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path of God. And the one who hates correction will die. You see, the rebellious son felt that he had seen a ray of hope for his fulfillment as an individual human being. That ray of light he felt was from God. It looked so positive, so liberating, and so fulfilling, but it led him into deep trouble. Impoverishment, debt, filth, humiliation, betrayal from his friends, homelessness, loneliness, rejection, and utter hopelessness. Satan came to him as an angel of light with all these terms freedom, liberation, fulfillment, self-determination, positive thinking, and so on and so forth. He came to him like a light, showing him the positive, and taught him to reject the negative and the restrictive hand of God. Following Satan and being attracted by the things he shows and gives puts heavy burdens on you and me. Then when you and I are in deep trouble, what does he do? He leaves us where we are and watches us die a slow or a sudden death. The thief comes to steal and to rob. He comes from the back door. You see, but a true friend, he will come and help you and be ready to die for you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is only happy to have you with him in his eternal fires of punishment reserved by God for all wicked spirits and people. On the other hand, Jesus says, come to me. Take my burden upon you. Yes, the Lord God is so truthful and transparent. Look, he straight away says that he will put a burden upon you. He will put a burden upon you, for we do believe that God's instruction, his laws, his correction, his teaching, his exposure of human evil are a burden for our freedom and self-esteem, isn't it? Why do children, as they grow up, begin to feel, oh, I don't want to come to that place. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to come for Sunday school. I don't want to come for Friday club. Why? Well, we were same. I used to escape Sunday school, you know, and some monitors would come from house to house trying to catch us as to what we were doing. But that is human nature. Dear friends, we don't want God in our life because it will correct us. We have no appetite for it. It will expose us. And so we do feel that what Jesus is saying is a burdensome. Is burdensome. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, we feel it burdensome, but the Lord is saying, no, it is light. He's either a liar or he's telling the truth. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can his burdens, that is his laws, his instruction, his correction, his teaching about himself and us, his evidence and exposing of our sins, give us rest? How can that just be so? How can it be light and enjoyable? Well, you don't have to study rocket science to know this. We are instructed about this in our schools, in our workplace, in our homes, on our roads. Let us take an example of the traffic rules. Why do we have traffic rules? Actually, they are burdensome, isn't it, for us? We find it burdensome. Traffic rules are negative in nature. Stop, no turning right, no turning left, keep to the left, give way. Who wants to do this? We have traffic rules in order to keep our desires and our priorities on check. They act as restriction. Our priority and desire is to move fast or to move slow. Our priority and our desire is to be first ahead of others. That's why we overtake. Our priority is to have fun speeding. Our priority is to park wherever and whenever we want. You want to see this kind of traffic life? Watch or drive in India or in Nigeria or in Ethiopia or any third world countries. This is how we use our freedom and our desires and our priorities, isn't it? It's a living example for all of us to see. If you put into practice and live out your desires and priorities, which I just mentioned, there will be chaos. There will be accidents all the time. There will be fights and filthy words flying from one mouth to the other. You can see this happening in places where there is no love for traffic laws. Knowing this, the government put laws, put restrictions. And the best part is, the government puts heavy fine. It even has the authority to take away your license. And all this is negative. And yet we know that this negative is for our good. Isn't it? The thing that comes out of these restrictions is good. There is order. There is safety. There is progress. There is safe return home. There is kindness, allowing others to go ahead first. I never saw that in India. You can't see that in India. What? Please go ahead. No way. I want to be there. And there is life saved. Life is saved. Life is preserved. The journey becomes pleasant. So this burden, these laws, becomes light. And it preserves life. Otherwise, there is every possibility of becoming anxious, angry, competing, jittering, fighting, accidents, and even death. From where did we learn that the law is good and not burdensome? From the Word of God. That is why, so far, whatever good and excellent we have in the West is because of the Bible, because of the light of Christ Jesus. It is because of the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, people are demanding that the laws should be thrown out. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is anarchy. Look at what the scripture says. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 onward. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Don't we say from the East or from Africa? Oh, in the West, there are laws, men. There are laws to protect you. If anybody does thing wrong, immediately they are fined. You see? Why? Because they have learnt it from the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. For our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He had commanded us. What comes out of being obedient to the instructions of the Lord is that the individual, the family, and the nation becomes wise and understanding. When the world see and hear how the people live and think, they say, oh, what a great and understanding nation this is. Their judgments are righteous. Moreover, we come to know that God does this for our good always, so that our lives might be preserved. Do you see the wisdom of God, dear friends? Can't you see the liberty and life that is there in God's instruction and guidance through His Word? Jesus therefore says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but Him. How does the commands of, or the burdens of the Lord becomes light and life? Well, let us take an example. Let us say you applied for some important document from the government office. It is supposed to come within a week, say. All your documents are right. Okay? There is no flaw in them. There is no flaw in it at all. But for reasons which you do not know, and you are not told, and you cannot understand, it is held back. Days turns into month, and months turn into year. What is going to happen to you? What is this going to do to you? You will become angry. You will get frustrated. You will spend sleepless nights. You will release your anger on your children, on your family, or at your workplace. You may lose your appetite. You will become tense and anxious. You may even start drinking more than usual. What a burden! And the more you rebel, the more you sin, the more your burdens will pile upon you and begin to crush you. It's a common experience. Now take the burdens of Christ Jesus upon you. But what Jesus says will not be found pleasing and appetizing for you, because you believe that you have the right to get angry. You have the right to fight, to bring down the government even single-handedly. And yet, you hate what is happening to you. And most of the time, people don't even know as to what is happening to them. Others have to point it out to them. Mom, dad, friend, brother, sister, what is happening to you? You look miserable. You look so burdened. You look so broken and sad. Jesus says, what if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Your reaction is making you lose your soul. That's what is happening. It is turning you into a desperate and evil person. The anger, the hatred and violence in your heart crushes and kills you. So how does the Lord's burden make our burden light? The Lord teaches us to believe that your times are in His hands. Your times are in His hand. But I trusted in Thee, says the psalmist. O Lord, I said, Thou art my God, my times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. He is aware of the persecution, of the problem that he is going through. But he said, Lord, my times, my history, the events in my life today, tomorrow and forever are in Your hands. Are in Your hands. Jesus teaches us, now these are the burdens of the Lord Jesus, these are the teachings. Jesus teaches us that we should first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the Lord saying here? First, He says, first let your priority be right. While that document is held, there is in the government office, or while you're looking for a job, or while you're waiting for your marriage to be fixed, or whatever happens on earth, you fulfill the purpose. You do the duties that God has asked you to do. Put your priorities right. The rest will be done by God. Don't get distracted. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, the scripture says. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. It's a command. It's a command. Psalm 55 verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Look, He's promising. This is what His promises are. This is what the burdens are, which are a burden to us. Look, your Creator who has created you and me knows what is good and right for us. The government knows the hearts of men, so they introduce laws to save and protect us. Of course, when you depart from the Lord and His wisdom and begin to hate Him, the whole nation becomes corrupt, as it is becoming now. Then they introduce the laws of Satan, in which there are no restrictions to do wicked things. And we think, hurrah, we are arriving there. for our total freedom, isn't it? No restrictions. But they turn out to be great burdens. But the Lord says, fret not, do not burn within. Do not be envious against the workers of evil. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Practice meekness. This is what Psalm 37 instructs us to do. But for us, we have not tasted it. We have not learned to live by it. They are burdensome. They are burdensome. And then the Lord says in Habakkuk, chapter 3 verse 17 onward, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, so everything that is happening is not right, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because my times are in His hands. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Look at that. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh dear friends, let me tell you from our experience, this is the experience of God's people. When you take this burden, this yoke of Christ Jesus upon you, you find immediate release. I'm not saying that all the problem will be gone. No. No. I'm not saying that your real problem will be lifted up immediately. No. But you will find rest. Rest in Christ Jesus. You will find rest for your soul. You will find peace. This is the power of the instructions and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? How this happens? Find it out for yourself. Because no matter how much I or the other believers will tell you, it will not become part of you. But find it out for yourself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read His commandments, which are right now burdensome for you. And even some Christians, they take this as a burden because they just cannot put their faith in it. Oh dear friends, take these burdens upon you. Repent for rejecting Jesus. Obey His word. At first you will find it bitter and very challenging. Why so? Because the spirit you possess is not of God. Satan will pull you towards Him. He will put doubts in you. He will distract you by showing other means, your old means of relieving anxiety and anger. It could be drinks. It could be immoral sex. It could be gambling. It could be violence. Some years ago, a young man came here and he said, I love the Lord. I know this is true. But then when I'm depressed or something like that, there comes a woman or she phones at me and then I'm led to do this. You see, He will take you back to where you find relief, that temporary relief. But you'll never find rest. Never find rest, dear friends. You have tasted this kind of thing, and at times it has given you success. It has given you relief. But you also know that these only make you a burden even more. Even more. So you must understand that the devil will distract you and pin you down. At this point, repent of your practices and thoughts. If possible, even skip a meal and pray earnestly. Some Christians who call themselves Christians go 40 days without chocolates and 40 days without drinks and goes 40 days without maybe eating meat and so on. But for their own sins, which they want to overcome, they will not say, Lord, I'm going to skip this off today and I'm going to pray earnestly because, Lord, I really and truly want to get over this burden that is placed on me. Yes, you can do it, dear friends, and it will show that you honor God, that you trust in Him. You see, read the Word of God even more. Cry for help from the Lord. Hold on to His promises. Jesus says, come to me. In Christ Jesus there is rest. Jesus is known and understood and received through His word, His instruction, His commands, His way of life. Yes, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And remember, as Isaiah said in chapter 55, you know, all this is free. He takes away your burden free. You don't have to go to the psychiatrist, although that helps definitely at times, no doubt about it. But then you buy a drink, it costs you. You go gambling, you lose all your money. Whatever you do, it costs you. But coming to Christ, it is free. It is free. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Shall we pray?